So today I'm going to talk about some cost estimates to estimate the burden of liver disease or end-stage liver disease complications for patients that are infected with either hepatitis B or hepatitis C or both in California. So I'm going to go over some prevalence estimates, just briefly touch on the disease progression and the current estimates for economic burden, and then go through our methods and the discussion. I have no disclosures. So as most of you are probably aware, and we've talked about this already this afternoon, but there's estimated to be around 4 to 5 million people in the United States with chronic hepatitis C infection, and around 2 million people with chronic hepatitis B infection in the United States. Most adults with chronic infections are unaware of their infection, and typically they are asymptomatic until the onset of cirrhosis or end-stage liver disease. So many people would go unrecognized until they are near the end of life or having some severe complications that would require a liver transplant. So early diagnosis and treatment are essential, and they can reduce hepatic inflammation and prevent progression to fibrosis or cirrhosis or cancer, and obviously control spreads of disease by using different prevention techniques. And it's estimated that somewhere between 15 and 25% of people with chronic hepatitis B will die from liver cancer or end-stage liver disease. Most of hepatocellular carcinomas are associated with hepatitis C or hepatitis B infection and also cirrhosis. Hepatitis C is the leading cause of liver transplantation in the United States. So it's estimated that a liver transplant costs around $200,000 in the U.S. And by 2030, Hep C-related liver cancer deaths are estimated to triple, along with associated costs of treatment and therapies. And treatment and prevention strategies have been shown to be cost-effective. So this graph, I don't know if there's a pointer here. So this graph is showing the forecast annual incident of end-stage liver disease complications and deaths. So here we are down 2010 is the analysis I'm going to show today. We're at 2012. And you can see the number is expected to spike as the baby boomers, cohort up. And many of those people are unaware of their infections, or even if they are, they may still become one of these end-stage liver complications and die from their infection. So you can see what is expected in the next 20 to 30 years. So in California, we have a database that's called it's managed by the Office of Statewide Health and Planning. It's OSHPID, and it's the Patient Discharge Database. And this is all hospitalizations in California that are discharged. And these records, it's used from billing data. So they're coded through ICD-9 codes, and it tracks all of the procedures received and diagnoses received during that inpatient stay. This is unique. A lot of states don't have something like this, but luckily in California, this is something that's available. And it does not include military or veterans hospitals, so that's an important exclusion, especially with this cohort that we're going to be looking at. And it's not patient-specific, so every admission would be tracked in this database. So if somebody was readmitted multiple times, they would be in there as multiple observations for each admission. So there's information on patient demographics, the length of stay, the information on the payer, and then they use ICD-9 coding to look at the diagnosis codes and procedures that were performed during the inpatient stay. The diagnosis codes may be a new diagnosis or it might be an existing diagnosis. So hepatitis C or B should be tracked on there even if the person has been diagnosed for years. Every time they come in, they would likely get coded as a hepatitis B or C infection. And then there's also a variable for inpatient charges, and this is the total charges of services that are rendered during the admission based on full rates before contractual adjustment. So this is basically, the initial charge that's sent to the insurance company or sent to Medicare, and includes hospital services, ancillary services, and patient care services, but it does not include physician fees. And Kaiser Permanente facilities do not report charges, so they're going to be excluded from this analysis also. And that's actually a fairly significant proportion, especially in Northern California. A lot of patients here are in that part of that HMO system. So hospital reimbursement is complicated. This is one quote I thought that best explained how you can understand it, but it says, "There's no method to this madness. as we went through the years, we had these cockamamie formulas, and this is who, the chief financial officer of UC Davis Health System. So basically, hospitals bill all patients a fixed price for each procedure or each service, and that's the list price or the sticker price, but they're reimbursed at different levels by different payers, and it could be for the same service. And also, some procedures and treatments are overestimated, and some procedures and treatments are underestimated. So it's very complicated. You can't just apply a simple adjustment to a cost estimate to get the actual charge estimate. And I'll talk about that a little bit later with some future analyses that we might be doing. So these, what I will be presenting here are just costs. They're charges. They're not the actual amount that was paid. It's basically the sticker price. So we queried the OSHPID data for all diagnostic and procedure codes related to liver disease, liver cancer, and liver transplant, and all patients that were diagnosed with hepatitis B or C. So these were the ICD-9 codes that we used to search the database. And we estimated charges as the total charges of the services during the admission to the hospital. And we stratified by payer, and we looked at from 2006 through 2010. So in 2010, there were over 30,000 admissions in California for patients with one of these end-stage liver disease or liver cancer treatments in patients that were diagnosed with hepatitis B or C. The vast majority of those were infected with hepatitis C. About 8% were infected with hepatitis B, and 4% were co-infected with both. And this is over 200,000 hospitalization days. So the total charged was $2.3 billion, and the vast majority of that, $2.1, was attributed to patients that were infected with hepatitis C, and a smaller proportion with hepatitis B. And about a third were billed to Medicare, and about a third billed to Medicaid, which is the California's Medicaid is called Medi-Cal. And then private insurers were only 19%. This is just 2010 data. There were over 600 liver transplants, and half of those were in patients that were known to be infected with hepatitis B or C. The vast majority, again, were infected with hepatitis C, and the median age was only 57 years. The majority were male. And the total charges was almost $250 million. And the median charge in California was $500,000. So this graph is showing the number of hospitalizations in the blue bars, starting in 2006 and going up to 2010. And these are only hospitalizations with people who had liver cancer, liver disease, or liver transplant-associated admissions. So in 2006, it's around 26,000, but it has increased to almost 31,000 in 2010. And this line here, this blue line, shows the total charges, and that corresponds with this axis here. So in 2006, it was just over $1.5 billion, but in 5 years, it's increased to close to $2.5 billion. And you can see the different payers here in these other colors. So the main point here is that liver disease and liver cancer and transplant-related hospitalization costs are substantial in California. The majority of these costs, over 76%, are covered by tax-supported public health insurers, and hospitalization charges have increased dramatically in 5 years. We know that patient screening and early treatments can reduce these end-stage liver disease complications related to these infectious diseases. And CDC recommends that all baby boomers be screened for hepatitis C, and also pregnant women and foreign-born persons from countries with high endemicity should be screened for hepatitis B. And then, of course, other high-risk persons should also be screened, and infected persons should receive monitoring and treatment. So this study only included inpatient hospitalization costs, so it does not include any outpatient costs, which we know are substantial for these diseases. It also excludes the Kaiser facilities and the veterans facilities, which could be a significant proportion. And again, we're looking at only charges and not actual costs. We plan to adjust these estimates with hospital-specific cost-to-charge ratios to try to maintain a better estimate of reimbursement. And a similar study of the OSHPID data did some adjustments based on different payers. So even if we adjust our total costs as much as this study demonstrated, it's still a substantial number of amount of money that's being attributed, and we know that it will be expected to be increasing over time. So I want to thank you all for being here. It's not easy on the last day, especially with Halloween and the parade and everything else. So it's great that I thought there would be only two of us in the room. So it's nice to not see just two of you. And I have my information here. If anybody has any follow-up questions later, you can feel free to email, or I'll take questions now, too.
I actually have a comment, and I think you're 100% right. It's a lot of money, whether you use charges, costs, or anything, but we're doing some work, not related to APPD or HCD, but we're working a lot now with costs using administrative discharge data. We found, and we do a lot of maternal and child health research, so a lot of our costs come from specific areas of the hospital, like labor and delivery and the newborn nursery. But in addition to like time-specific, hospital-specific cost-to-charge ratios, if possible, at least investigate the possibility of using department-specific cost and charge ratios within the hospital. It's a lot of work no matter what. It's at least worthwhile to go after the department-specific cost and charge ratios, because your final cost estimate will just be that much more accurate.
Right.
It may not be possible. It's been a nightmare for us to get that kind of information in Florida, but we feel like our estimates are even drastically different from adjustment using just the hospital-wide. So if possible, it would be worth the investigation.
Yeah, that's a great comment.
I had a question. So, this was a great presentation, and it just emphasizes how important it is to kind of diagnose and treat them early on. But did you have any, did you stratify by them by like three different disease codes, or there were cancers separately?
Yeah, so the question is, did we stratify looking at the different, so liver cancer versus liver transplant or other liver disease? And we did. And I think the only one I separated out here for this presentation was the liver transplant costs, which is actually not a large proportion of it. I mean, $250 million seems like a lot of money, but it's actually, compared to $2.3 billion, not that much. So yes, we can do that. And I, in terms of brevity, tried to trim some of that out.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yes.
This
is 300 transplants that were included in this data system. 300.